If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Rakuten.com.
Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's your mom and dad. Welcome, welcome back, everyone. Evan, you remember that scene in The Little Mermaid where, spoiler alert, that's definitely Aladdin.
Oh shit.
Wait, what is the,
you did that with, what's the such
song?
Confidence.
I know, what is the song?
Part of Your World.
Oh, part of your world.
That was so much confidence in Aladdin. So
I know. Well, you know, it shows you my Disney knowledge.
I know, it's new for you. Mm-hmm. We've exposed it to you. But okay, the very end scene, Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. Spoiler alert, everyone, but that scene where Eric and Ariel are floating
Eric's
away.
The guy.
Yeah, the prince.
Yeah.
The prince and Ariel are floating away.
Eric.
In...
It's kind of a basic ass name. You know what I mean? I think there would be something like Eric. I forgot it's his name. It's like, okay, sorry, continue.
Prince Eric.
Prince Eric and the, you know, the mermaid Carrie.
Prince Eric and Ariel are floating away in their boat, mm-hmm. and King Triton is there, and Ariel and King Triton have this moment where he's okay. like, no, sweetheart, go.
Yeah.
And there's like this mourning as uh-huh. she floats away from uh-huh. him. I feel like us, as the viewers of The Golden Bachelorette, we're Eric and Ariel, and we're having to float away from our Zeus, our King Triton, Mark.
Oh, wow, got it. Yeah,
Mark
yeah,
is
yeah.
the Triton in this scenario. And I feel as if I am right now, me and the rest of the American public mm-hmm. watching this are having to float away in this boat and like grieve the loss of our King Triton. But no, yes, we're moving on. Yes, Joan is going to hopefully find someone, but like there he is.
A moment of silence kind of energy.
And it's like, there's yeah. dad. Mm-hmm. And we're saying goodbye to King Triton.
We chose legs over, what do you call it?
The fin.
The fin. Yeah.
I am mourning. Mm-hmm.
You're mourning. Yeah.
The loss of, I mean, he was our King Triton. He was our God. He was the creator of all things that were good.
Was.
And he held the earth.
He was there before and he is there now.
He was there before the but beginning the one of time. Thing, yeah. And he holds the earth in his hands.
He does. He's got the whole audience in his hands. But it was interesting to kind of watch. I felt like, you yeah. know, my, like, he's a timid, like, he's kind of a shy, timid guy. And that's kind of like, he's yeah. not quite the Triton we thought he was. And not in a hateful way.
Oh.
Hold on. Let me finish my sentence.
The greatest of rulers rule mm-hmm. with a loving, gentle hand.
Yes.
He is capable of might. He is truly God.
Like, we just haven't seen the, you know what it is? It's like, he's really calm.
Yes.
We just never saw the energetic side of him. And maybe he's just too long of a brew, you know what I mean? Maybe it takes a little too long to get there on this national stage.
Like,
but
true goodness is that forever gentle calm.
Maybe we're all a little addicted to the toxicity of.
I think we are. Mm-hmm. I think we're all a little.
Where's
addicted
the energy?
To,
yeah. Where's the toxicity? Where's the?
I feel like it's safe to say though with this edit in this episode. First of all, them making the one guy that we all knew wait till the very end to get on one-on-one.
A lot of buildup.
Typical Bachelor ABC production.
Yeah.
Where you bring in the person who's like, yeah, I'm the confident one because the audience knows me. And then they string him along. They make him wait till the very, very end. And then he has to have his date at the, like, just in the cusp, just in the nick of time before hometowns. And of course, you're going to be in your head then. You're going to be a little more tight, a little more nervous. It's like there's a lot building up on this. But yeah, because of the edit of it, it tells me he will be our next Bachelor for
sure. Ooh, you know what?
No question.
He's got to be.
No question.
He's built for it. He's perfect for it. He's so sweet.
Women are going to be lining up out the door.
Yeah.
I know, for example. You know what?
If they don't, then it's like he shut it down or something. You know what I mean? It's because he's literally, he's the fan favorite. Everyone, he's adored by everyone.
And his daughters,
he's royalty.
Yeah.
He left in a super amazing way. There wasn't like, he didn't get cut early. Like, it's kind of
the way he left. He's on the tee. But the way that they wrapped it, where we're having all these shots of Mark, he finally comes to this point where he sees the hummingbird. He's like, Denise, this is her saying, this is the right choice. You made the right move. And then he gets cut.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is like, he's finally ready and open for this journey. And we will get Mark as our Golden Bachelor.
I'm feeling you're right.
And I'm going to tell you what, okay? So, you know, my mother, Sylvia, fan favorite of our show, she, I don't want to reveal who it is to try to keep her privacy.
Right.
But she did request, after someone was kicked off of the show,
yes,
that I perhaps wing woman. And I do that for my mother, and I might have slid into the DMs of somebody who my mom was like, I find him to be wonderful. Mm-hmm. And so I don't want to say who it is for, you know, privacy in case, you know, maybe a date happens. Right. So I want that for my mother. But if it doesn't work out,
right,
and this individual does not take my mother out on a date, I'm signing her up for this season.
I feel like this is her chance.
And she was very resistant. She was like, I don't know. Maybe about a year and a half ago when the Golden Bachelor was first starting. But after this season and sitting in the chairs with us and talking and getting to know the family a little bit, my mom's, I think, down to do it. I think she's down for me to put her hat in the ring.
Her coming on the podcast really broke open something inside of her.
And she's ready.
Where she's like, I'm a new person. I have been,
yes,
you know what I mean, awoken.
She is ready to get on our screens, everybody. So I'm just saying there's someone out there who, you know, she's interested in. And so we'll see what happens with that. But if that person doesn't reach out, then the other person that my mom was like, oh, wow, was Mark. And I think she'd be down.
Ooh.
So Mark.
Hashtag Sylvia. What he would get Sylvia on the Golden Bachelor 2025. Gosh, could you imagine if she went on? That would actually be insane.
It would be wild.
And she comes back with Mark, and Mark's now like your dad.
God, can you imagine? It'd be so wild.
Hashtag Mark's my dad.
It'd be so wild for Mark to be, like, for the creator of the earth to be my father.
Yeah, Triton.
I wonder if that would make me immediate royalty.
Technically, you should be able to swim.
I'd be the daughter of the sea. Yes.
Yeah, that's true.
God, what a good movie that was. The live action Little Mermaid.
Oh, the new
we
one.
We had
yeah.
you watch the, it in full length yeah, for the first really time good. The other day. And Evan, everybody, there were tears in Evan's eyes. He was locked in. What a movie.
It was amazing.
The one with Halle Bailey. Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, incredible. Different. But it just makes me emotional thinking about it.
Yeah. if you put him in that context, definitely.
Maybe that's why I'm so emotional.
I think
about
so.
Him.
I think there's a little
really
bit
connecting
like you're
it with
putting him literally in,
in
that
the
role.
Live action yes. Little Mermaid. Yeah. But I do believe in my heart and soul that he will be our next Golden Bachelor.
I think if they don't, something went wrong.
I would say keep your eyes out, everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe next week on Dancing with the Stars, we have Joey, who's been crushing it on there. Kelsey being there every week, watching. They are absolutely so lovely together. Next week, I have a feeling that Mark will be sitting next to his daughter, Kelsey, watching Joey.
All right.
Either this week or next week, I believe that we're going to get a sighting of Mark. And I feel like that's kind
he's
like...
He's got like two women. He's just
dating two of the contestants.
He's just like, hey, sweetheart, give me another beer. Like, he's become this egomaniac, and he's got like three to four women, and he's in the crowd, and he's like smoking cigarettes, and he's just like, hey, toots, give me a beer. And we're like, whoa, Mark's changed.
He's got all these women around him who were actually on The Bachelor, The Golden just Bachelor. Them. They're just all too young.
This one's sitting on his lap. He's like, Joey, that's my son-in-law.
All of Joey's exes like, from whoa. His season.
Yeah. He's dating all the like 28-year-olds. Anyway,
I'm just saying, look in the audience for Dancing with the Stars, because I feel like if Mark's going to be the Golden Bachelor, I feel like this week or next week, we're going to see him in the crowd. If he hasn't been there already, I think after now he's been cut off of the show, I think we're going to see him in the crowd, everybody.
I agree.
I'm just saying, I think they're going to start, making a little more fanfare around Mark. So, anywho, this was an episode that did have some sadness in it, but there were also some moments that I giggled through and I would like to discuss.
Yes, so absolutely. Let's get into this.
The week before Hometowns, this is a big episode, but first let's take a quick pause. So family, I'm not trying to get too TMI here, but with all those Goldens in one mansion, imagine the toilet paper bill. Okay. It has to be astronomical. Okay. And if I was having to use the mansion bathrooms, I'd be so dearly missing our tushy bidets, because they have changed our lives. Let me break this down. You would never clean your face with an abrasive scrub because it messes with your skin's natural barrier. What if we told you toilet paper is doing the exact same thing to your bottom? Okay. It's causing micro tears on your body's most delicate skin. Yeah. Ever think about that one? The solution, switch to a tushy bidet and wash with a gentle, soothing stream of water every time you go. And for a limited time, our listeners get 10% off your first bidet order when you use code MOMDAD at HelloTushy.com.
Yeah, our tushy bidets really did change our lives day to day. Let's just say I've never felt cleaner in my entire life. Adds an extra clean pep in your step. And the installation is simple and only takes about 10 minutes to complete. Literally anyone can do it. The tushy bidet easily attaches to your existing toilet without the need for additional plumbing or electricity. It's also super easy to use. Sit, do what you must, and then turn the knob for a refreshing stream of clean water.
Also, the design is gorgeous and it blends right into your bathroom. And side note, the tushy bidet gives you a precise clean, which tackles UTIs by removing 99% of bacteria, helping to keep your intimate areas clean and infection free. And it soothes discomfort from IBS, hemorrhoids, and other chronic bottom issues by providing a gentle, refreshing clean that's easy on sensitive skin. On a personal note, it has really helped my fissures. Okay, it's very true. Sorry, it's TMI, but it's very true. Every Hello Tushy bidet comes with a 30-day hassle-free return and a 12-month warranty. It's time we give love and care to our body's most sensitive skin and join the 2 million butts who have already switched to Tushy. For a limited time, our listeners get 10% off your first bidet order when you use code MOMDAD at checkout. That's 10% off your first bidet order at HelloTushy.com with promo code MOMDAD. That's HelloTushy.com. HelloTushy.com with promo code MOMDAD. Okay, so the fifth episode of The Golden Bachelorette, this is the week before Hometowns. Mm-hmm. We find out, number one, that there are going to be no roses given on dates this week, which I found to be interesting. And I also liked. Yeah. I liked that because it gives the lead a little more time to soak up their thoughts after their dates instead of like having to make a quick knee-jerk decision about like here's the rose on the one-on-one or you're going home.
Yeah, and I also think it allows it doesn't put a pressure on the moment in the same way. It's interesting because we're so used to seeing that.
Yeah.
But I like that Joan kind of is setting her own rules almost. I almost feel like she's requesting these things, being like, I'm feeling too much pressure from these dates.
She is big time, because we've heard too, like I heard in an interview, and I'm not sure how it's necessarily going to work out, but I believe for Fantasy Suites, she's made the request to not have it be like a bed in the fantasy suite. She wants it just to be like sitting room,
just hanging out.
Just hey, we get to spend the whole evening with each
other. Pascal's like, what? I have never gone this long without sex. Pascal's like, Are you kidding me? He's like, that is my number one thing. I show her the bedroom, she never looks back. Sorry, worst French accent of all time. But I did think just when she, when there was no, when we were talking about like no bed, he's kind of like, excuse me.
But she's setting her own rules, which is which. Yes. To what you're, the point to what you're saying, yes. Like, yes, 1,000%.
Yes.
She's kind of setting the pace a little more, I think, than most leads.
Yes, agreed.
But yeah, no roses this week. Also, we get 4 men for hometowns. Remember with Jerry Gary Turner, we only had 3 for hometowns and 2 for fantasy suites.
Yes.
And that was kind of a bummer.
Yes.
So we get the typical, we get the four hometowns lineup. And I think 3 for fantasy suites, which I'm very excited about.
Yes.
But this episode, it genuinely starts out with us just getting a full close-up zoom eye full of Pascal and his tidy whities.
It was like kind of like gnarly.
I was like, you
it's
guys.
Just like, there it is.
I was just like, ABC.
It
like,
wasn't like him walking away and you kind of see his butt.
No, they like zoomed up on him. It was like, what are you guys doing?
UPS delivered the full package.
I was like, did he sign off on this? I'm sure he loved it. You know, yeah, he's walking around in the whitey tighties. He lives for the nudity. But I was just like, what? But what I noted is that what do we see Pascal doing? Doing a gorgeous steaming on his clothes.
He's learning. No,
he's known how to do it, like I said, the full time.
Oh,
this man did a full, he tricked all these guys into doing
100%.
All of his housework and said, I don't know how to do it.
Right.
And he knows. He's sitting there. I'm just watching
the
way.
He's steaming.
I'm watching the way the man's
because
steaming.
Because steaming is not a thing a 65-year-old boomer dad does.
Well, also
they
that,
just do a little ironing.
Well, that's because he's got Gucci. He's got Prada.
But,
he
but that's what I'm saying. None of those guys
styling.
Are steaming.
No.
Those guys are all just like ironing. That's fine.
Well, I think in general, a lot of people iron instead of steam. So
steaming
watching,
is a fashion
it's
thing.
It's a fashion thing.
I don't want you ruining
when
my $400 shirt.
When I used to be a wardrobe stylist, like you have to steam everything.
No one
There's
has
no
an iron.
Ironing.
No.
This man knows exactly what he's doing. He's steaming beautifully and he got them all. He tricked them all. He's sad because he's like, my friends are all gone. And
I lost my workforce.
I've lost my entire staff.
Employees are gone.
And now I'm alone and he has the bedroom all to himself. But I know I'm jumping ahead here. I would like to just take a moment to talk about my absolute giddy fascination, adoration with what we found out in this episode was Pascal and Mark's friendship.
Yes.
We didn't know that this was lingering the entire time, but we were given the gift of all these scenes where they're not just friends. Pascal at the end is like teary and he's like, he's my very best friend.
I know.
He said he's my very best friend. He loves Mark so much. And even before that ending part, in my notes, I was taking all these notes going, oh my God, look at the way Pascal like just embraces Mark and the way he holds him. And every time Mark would be in the scene, we'd see Pascal being like, Mark, you have a beautiful
smile.
Well,
that's the thing. I had never said to my friend ever in my life, you have a beautiful smile.
Yes.
You need to keep smiling.
It was one of the more beautiful
like, that
things.
That is like, he swept Mark off his feet.
It
like,
was
that
one
was
of the
so
more,
romantic.
The more beautiful things I've ever seen on my screen, especially with these older men, because it felt like such healthy masculine. Like there was just this like love and adoration.
And I think that was going into his date.
It was.
I don't even think it was after. So it's like, that's how much he loves him, or he doesn't feel any competition. Like he's basically.
Yeah, well, Pascal feels no competition.
But specifically, though, like to be like, as building him up as he's going into his date and telling him that he has a beautiful smile, he needs to smile more.
Yeah.
Not like after his date when you're going home and you're trying to build your friend up. Like the moment he might steal your girl.
And then he was telling Mark right before he went on the date, he was like, you have a beautiful smile, but also Mark, this is the perfect time for you. I've watched you grow in your confidence. And now, you had to wait, but now you're there in your confidence. And Mark says, you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head, Pascal. And Pascal says, I know because you're my friend. He's like, I know you, my friend. I know you know. He said, I know you, my brother.
Yes.
He,
and then when he
loves
when Mark
him.
Was talking about not butterfly, but
hummingbird.
Pascal was like looking deep into his eyes and being like, oh my God, that's amazing. Tell me more. Like he loves him.
Loves
wow.
Mark.
Did not see that union coming.
No. And I think about the scene a few episodes ago where Mark was helping him with the laundry.
Yeah.
And I feel like Greg's probably devoed because Pascal is always kind of annoyed by Greg.
Yeah.
But like Pascal thinks Mark is like cool.
Yeah.
So he's like, he's cool. And he also, he's debonair.
Yeah.
And he is my friend.
Right.
He's
right.
my best friend.
Best friend.
And it's so, there's something that was so touching to me because Pascal is kind of this aloof energy to see him like deeply
Pascal
love.
Pascal doesn't hit me like a guy who has a ton of guy friends.
No.
You know what I mean? I don't see him with the boys.
No. So to
see him connect.
But to see him, because again, he seems kind of like aloof with the men a little bit. He's funny. Uh-huh. He's charming, but he's a little bit like,
I'm not going to be affected by this process. Yeah.
But to see his heart become so like intertwined with Mark's, I was like, Mark, you got to take a trip to Paris, my
friend. Well, we need to have a little reality show with those two, or a little, you know, course, a little trip, a little, or at least some Insta stories
some
of them
time together
out.
Where they're traveling through Europe together and Pascal is showing his best all the, friend Mark
the ways of Europe,
everything.
I love that. Yeah, I love it.
God, I love it so much. Anywho, that was the thing that touched my heart more than anything in this entire episode was the Pascal Mark love,
their bond
is so beautiful.
Maybe if Pascal and her get married, Mark can officiate.
True. I don't think I see that happening. I see Pascal being like, well, Mark's gone, so I guess I'm going to leave too because I want to be with my best friend.
Like you don't think
I think that Pascal loves Mark more than he romantically loves Joan.
Oh, interesting.
I think he's more connected to Mark, and I think now that Mark's gone, Pascal will start to dwindle.
Okay.
I think we'll see. Like, no, I want to be with my best friend.
He was my engine.
Yeah, that was, and when Mark even said, Mark said to the men right before his date, another moment I was so teary.
Yeah.
He said, you all have enhanced me.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
You've enhanced me. So I've never been happier in the past 6.5 years because you have enhanced me.
Beautiful.
Anyway.
Stunning. Gorgeous. Absolutely. Gorgeous romance for the men there. Ugh,
it's so beautiful. It's so warm and we need this. It's good.
I agree.
But anywho, Trista and Joan end up meeting together. Trista, original bachelorette. And they have a conversation where Trista's like, for me, my biggest regret is that I didn't share more and tell Ryan exactly how I felt from the get. And I felt like Joan was processing that. Mm. And I'm curious if we're going to see her start expressing her feelings for a specific person more.
That's what we're missing in this whole process.
Yes.
Still to this day, I don't know.
Oh, I mean, I think it's very clear that Chalk is the front runner.
I think Chalk's the most aggressive and the most passionate about her. I think that's what's clear.
But
he's taking the most moments. He's taking the bull by the horns and going for it.
But I think,
but I can't say firmly that she's the most in love with him.
But I she said the most about him.
Yeah.
And also we can get into it in a little bit, but there were a few things that she did during the group date that to me showed very obviously that Chalk is her front runner.
Yeah.
So
okay. All right,
I'm curious to see if she's going to start like now all of a sudden opening up way more and being like, I love you to someone, even though she's told all the men that she loves them.
Well, she says it in a way like, I love you guys.
I know. You know what I mean?
But no one said I'm falling for you, which is really interesting. The lexicon, the men have not been watching the show enough to know the lexicon of I'm not in love with you. I'm falling. No falling. Nothing has happened.
Except Chalk. Chalk has basically like, been like, I'll marry you tomorrow.
I'll marry you tomorrow. But everyone else is kind of like, we're having a good time. So it's interesting.
That is very true. No one has said
no
it.
No love, nothing.
Maybe we'll hear it at hometowns. Maybe a lot of the guys are like, you got to meet my kids first. You got to meet my family before I'm going there.
Sure.
But we find out that there's going to be 2 one-on-ones and a group date. And Keith gets the first one-on-one. And Keith really, I mean, last episode we saw that he was absolutely kissed by the curse of the first impression rose. And I'll be real with you, Evan, I think that continued through this date. I felt like we did not get Keith. We did not get night one Keith. I think he really is so lovely, and he was so lovely on this date, but Night One Keith was so confident. Night One Keith rolled in with his station wagon and he was like, baby girl, hop in the back. I'm going to get you the wine, the cheese. We're going to go. And he created an entire future for her.
Yes.
He sat with her the first night and he painted a picture of what their future would be together, which I think she liked. Cut to last week's episode. She goes, so what it'll be like when you retire? He has no answers. And so Night One Keith came in, you know, 6'5", confident as hell, but that first impression rose curse, it really, I think, affected him and his confidence, and he's questioning himself. And I felt like through this entire date, he was struggling. Like, I felt like he was there more, but he wasn't the same relaxed energy that he was in the first night.
Something happened to him in this process where the pressure, he put a lot of pressure on himself.
Yeah.
And then I think once he did that date last week where he kind of folded under the pressure and kind of didn't know what to say, he was overthinking everything. Sad. And then, but worse than that, it's not like we felt like it was a bad date and he was like, had a great time. He then had a bad date, was talking about it consistently, then he has another one-on-one. I think it was like, don't mess this one up again.
And then going into an audition. So if you audition for, like, you know, theatrics, sure, or singing or whatever, I remember when I used to do musical theater, I could go in and do a bunch of auditions,
right,
and I'd feel great. I'd feel awesome, confident. But then when I would biff one audition,
it's like
the next one, I would biff again because I'd be so in my head and I'd be like, my voice is going to falter again. I'm going to forget that line again. And then you're just,
I think what happens to some of these guys is the difference is being yourself versus trying to be the man she wants. And I think they start to do is kind of like overthink, like what would she want right now?
Yeah.
What is she looking for?
Yeah.
And so they're a lot less into like, here's what I want. Here's what I think we could have. And a little bit more like, oh, I'm reading her. What's her energy right now? Okay, she's talking about her ex. Let me kind of just be chill and lean back and not say much. You know what I mean? Like, she's not.
Yeah.
I think because it was interesting. He had it in the bag. 6'5", good looking guy, station wagon, created the life, the whole thing. But he created the life. You know, he created the life. And also, she said he reminded her of John. Big energy, life of the
night
party.
She said, he makes me feel safe.
Well, she also said it in this last episode.
Yeah.
She said, he reminds me of John. So even there, there's like this, there's a comfort level. I feel, you know, the good things about John, the life of the party, the big, big, strong energy. That's what I like. He got in his head. He changed his personality.
And it's wild because genuinely watching this, I was like, I would have nestled into Keith.
Mm-hmm.
I think Keith, you know, I love me some Mark. I obviously love me some Jordan. We've all talked about that. But there is something about Keith that, just even as a viewer, I'm not even in that position, that I would be like, he feels like a hug.
Yeah.
He feels like love and comfort and safety, and you just want to kind of curl up with him. And so I was very surprised that Keith did not get a hometown rose, like someone, like a guy got it, not Keith. My brain exploded.
Well, it was interesting. She said, and she kind of like alluded, well, she didn't allude to it. She said it. She goes, I have a very good rapport with Keith. It's like, rapport?
What does that mean?
That means like, we have a good, like we're good with each other. But that does not say,
no, that's not
we
romantic.
Have tension and we love each other. I think what happened with him,
his nerves dropped the tension.
His nerves dropped the tension and they became friends.
Yeah.
And she, you know, he was talking about his wife and the addiction and they were connecting over like loss and this, you know, and the kids and the connection. But I honestly think he got friend zoned. I think she was like, you're sweet and kind and we could be buddies, but like, there's no sense of passion here. And I think he kind of folded into like, the only thing we have in common is like, you know, our ex, you know, I mean, we're just kind of trauma and going through things, but then he didn't spark the like, but we could have an awesome life together.
Yeah.
It was always kind of like simple life together, calm, mellow, but not like,
but that's what it seemed energy. Like she wanted. That's what's so confused. I gotta be real with you. She's got me confused. Chalk seems like the number one, obviously, to me. But other than that, the top four that she picked,
yes,
and
I
even
agree.
Through this, I'm confused.
Yes.
I thought she wanted someone who had a lot of similarities with her and kind of like a
life. I think
life.
She doesn't know what she wants.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
Because look at the group.
Yeah, it's very
the group's confused.
Random.
You got whisk you off to Paris guy.
Yeah.
Doctor guy.
Who's a little awkward.
A little awkward. Normal life chalk.
Yeah.
And then guy who dates celebrities. It's kind of like, she, you could tell she's split. She's going, I want excitement, new, fun, nothing like my ex. Mm-hmm. And then I also want relatable, simple, safe, down to earth.
Same story.
She doesn't know what she wants. Because she just cut the two guys that were quiet, reliable, sweet, there and for also, her energy, daddy energy.
Obviously, Keith has a different story because his wife is still around, but there has been a massive loss that's very similar in the way that you haven't spoken to 10 massive, to 12 years.
It was
a
massive loss.
Yes, absolute you know? Loss.
So it's like, in my opinion, I was going to get into this later, but in my opinion, her cutting Mark and Keith, to me, was kind of the death of the I want a simple, normal life. Because even Chuck's got energy. He's kind of in it. He's like, I want you. Let's get it. Keith and Mark were the quiet dads who were like handsome hometown vibes.
Yeah.
And she cut those two guys.
It's true.
It's not like she kept one of them. She cut them both. In my mind, she signaled, we're done with that energy. Yeah. I'm looking for new.
Okay. No, you're right. I think you're right. Yeah, because I was very confused by the choices ultimately, but everyone's been very lovely, but yeah, I was very confused. But okay, there's something I really want to bring up about Keith's date. Okay. I do want to talk about this, but we got to take another quick pause. Family, so hometowns are coming up quickly here, and you got to wonder, will we meet some of these men's pets? Will any of these goldens be cat daddies? You know, we love a cat daddy. And if you have a cat that you love, I will tell you, okay, the best litter you can get for them is Pretty Litter. Why? Oh, so many reasons. First of all, Pretty Litter's non-clumping formula traps odor and moisture. It's ultra absorbent. Let me tell you, Pretty Litter traps odor like you cannot even believe. My dad, the cat king who uses Pretty Litter, has a home that never smells like litter ever, ever, ever because he uses Pretty Litter. It's truly incredible. It's also lightweight, low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to a month.
Yeah. Second, Pretty Litter can really provide cat parents with peace of mind because Pretty Litter changes color to indicate early signs of potential illnesses in your cat, like urinary tract infections, kidney issues, and more. And third, if that wasn't enough, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You don't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space. And even better, you don't have to lug those huge tubs from the store to your car and then into your house.
It's simply the best. Let me tell you, having a 6-pound bag that works for up to a month and isn't taking up a big amount of space is huge. Okay. Yeah. A lot of us don't have tons of storage space, so this is a game changer, genuinely. And the low dust factor means no dusty kitty paw prints left all over the house for you to clean up. I'm telling you, Pretty Litter is amazing. You have to try it. Go to prettylitter.com/momdad to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. That's prettylitter.com/momdad to save 20% on your first order and get a free cat toy. prettylitter.com/momdad. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Okay, so obviously we're talking about Keith's one-on-one, but let's just talk about actually what they did. So he gets a helicopter ride. Mm-hmm. They've both never been in a helicopter. Truly terrifying. I'll never get over the pure terror of the fact. I was actually thinking, if I was the Bachelorette, if they said, hey, we want you to be the Bachelorette, and I said no helicopters, if they would choose someone else, because it's such a prerequisite.
They're like, we own this thing. We got to do something
It has to. Remember, Jen, it was like every other day there was a helicopter.
Yeah.
I'm like, if you say before you become the Bachelor or Bachelorette, no helicopters, they go with someone else? I feel like it's almost that much of a staple that they're like, no, we can't do it.
Nah, I'm not a fan. No desire.
No, thank you. But they go to a winery, Babcock Winery. Mm. And okay, I just have to share this because we meet the owners of Babcock Winery, Brian and Lisa. Mm-hmm. And I just had to share this. Did Brian and Lisa do anything weird or odd? No, not at all. They seemed lovely. But for some reason, I think I've been watching too much old SNL clips recently. For some reason, the second I saw Brian and Lisa and then they were there with them,
yeah,
while they're having, so they don't get to even drink the wine alone. Brian and Lisa are there drinking with them.
Yeah.
Through the entire, what should have been a romantic thing. They're just there. And, you know, Brian goes, we'd like to show you our first rosé. It's called Love Garden.
Yeah.
There was something about that. And then, and then the clip later, which we didn't see, but we see in like a preview.
I think I know where you're going with this.
That Keith and Joan were in the hot tub. Yeah. And my
brother. Will Ferrell. Yes. Will Ferrell, like he's in the hot tub with them.
So family, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's this old clip where Will Ferrell and Rachel Dratch, who's like the Debbie Downer, yeah, they are a couple who they're the lovers.
Yeah, the lovers.
And they go to a hotel called the Welshly Arms.
Yes.
And it's just like a motel.
Yes.
And there's like Jimmy Fallon and another actor in there. And all the scenes, it's always Jimmy Fallon and
another
actor.
The idea is that they're like going to this hotel and these people are in the jacuzzi with them.
No, and they come up and they go, are there room for two other lovers in the hot tub?
Hot tub.
In the hot tub.
Yeah, like these people sitting there drinking with them. It's almost like they're like, we get it. You own a winery. Like, can we, you know, the plug was made. Like, we don't need you here.
He's like, I'd like to show you our next glass of Love Garden.
Yeah, and you know, like the producers are like, you guys can leave now. They're like, no, we prefer to be here with
you. We want to watch the lovers.
We also have a tantric sex yoga class.
As they entangle their arms beneath the drips of wine.
Playing with their feet under the water.
And then when the fact that they showed them in a hot tub, I was just picturing Brian and Lisa coming in like Will Ferrell and Rachel Dratch.
Just dipping in with them.
Like, and when Will Ferrell's like, I know above the waters of the hot tub, it seems calm, but beneath hens are scurrying.
Yes.
Love is being made.
Oh my gosh. Yes, I feel that. They hung a little too long. And I was like, guys, get out of the scene.
I don't know what it is, but I couldn't.
We have a huge bed waiting for all of us later.
It's like we own, as two lovers.
Lovers.
We have owned this winery, and let us all put our feet together in the grapes and squish them around and think about making love.
Let the juices flow. Let the wine create a buzz in your body that can only be satisfied by human connection. And they're like, hey, Babcox, can you stop trying to fuck our leads? We're just trying to have a moment here.
And then the fact that it's Babcock, I don't know.
Right.
But I'm sorry, Brian and Lisa, you guys didn't do anything of the
sort.
You guys are so sweet.
You seem
so professional and lovely, and your winery looked beautiful, but I've just been watching too much SNL. I've just been like, I saw them, and it was just them just kind of lingering.
Yeah, like,
and
we're ready for you.
And Brian's hair kind of, when he kept swishing and drinking.
Yeah, the hair's kind of bobbing. Insane.
Anyway, but they did have conversation with them, and they mention that they've been married for 32 years, and that's how long Joan and John were married. And I also think, I think that Keith was nervous, but also we saw Joan shift in that moment.
She's done multiple dates now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like she gets reminded of John pretty consistently throughout this problem, which is super
normal.
She's
in a situation where she's talked about feeling like this guilt in the back of her head the entire time.
And I do wonder, though, if it really, it depends on the guy, how they handle it. Does that make sense?
Like, how also, if the guys who maybe remind her of John,
she
feels more. So she's standing there with Keith. She's talking about how he reminds her of John.
Mm.
And then she hears them say 32 years together. And she says, that could be me and John right now.
Right.
And I wonder if there's, maybe that's why the choices, even though Chalk, she says, reminds her of John, but some of the other choices are farther away from how John was, because it doesn't maybe entangle in her grief quite as much. But it made me think when I saw her, kind of, because we saw it with her and Jonathan. Mm-hmm. She saw the hawk, and she, you know, seemed to kind of disconnect in the date. This, I felt like as soon as they brought up the 32 years, it seemed like for the rest of the date, the energy was shifted. And it makes me wonder, I'm like, my guess for what's going to happen in this season is my prediction is she either walks away with Chalk.
Mm.
He seems like so the number one to me. She seems very cozy with him.
Yes.
Or she doesn't wind up with anybody, because I could see her in this space where she just might not be ready. And maybe this was a great foundation for her to start dating and meet a bunch of amazing guys. And maybe she keeps dating, but maybe not engaged.
I have a thought I want to explore.
Okay.
During the Mark conversation.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about it now because I want to talk about it after Mark.
Okay.
But I have a whole kind of feeling about this that goes along with what you're saying.
Okay. Well, yeah. So like I said, for the rest of the date, they really had, some really powerful conversations. Yeah. Like when he brings up that he's like, hey, I can sometimes have a hard time opening up about dreams about the future because what if it doesn't happen? And he brings up his ex-wife and how they tried everything, but then he had to separate his daughters because of her addiction, and they haven't talked to her in 10 or 12 years.
Yes.
And he just, I mean, he seems like such an incredible man.
He really does.
Because the way he talks about his ex is with so much care and compassion. He's not like saying things that throw her under the bus. It's like, we tried, I loved her, but addiction is a powerful thing, and she has to be the one to make those decisions.
Big time.
You hear that they walk through rehabs together and all of this. But he doesn't ever talk ill of her.
Yeah.
And yet he did what needed to be done for his daughters.
Right.
And was then, full-time girl dad until now they're grown and he can explore dating. Like, he just seems like a really incredible man.
I agree. Completely agree. Rock solid guy.
Yeah.
They just don't seem to have romantic chemistry at this point.
Which is wild because they did that first night.
I know. I think he came in strong. I think he came in with confidence and I think it rattled him.
Yeah. And she said, she's like, I really love Keith because he doesn't just look at the glass as half full. He looks at the glass completely full, which you get that energy from him. But with that being said, no make out. They kiss, but there's no make out. And I mentioned that last time I saw a make out. I've seen a make out with Chalk from what I've noticed and a make out with Jordan.
Jordan, yes.
But everyone else, it's been kind of smoochies. But even Chalk in this episode during the bowling date, they had a moment where they kind of had a little make out moment. And that to me kind of signals. And I bet she'd make out with Pascal. I guess she did. Her and Pascal were smooching pretty hard. But he's a little more elusive.
Yeah, he's not. She even called him out on it, obviously.
He's a little more hard to find. Like, you're like, where's Pascal?
I make you come get me.
It's like, where is he?
Yeah.
Even she had the conversation with him last week about, like, come find me on this bowling date. He's completely gone.
He's like, I'm steaming.
He's steaming. He's concerned about the fact that his bowling clothes.
The bowling clothes. Yeah, they even made it
the
really
bowling
funny.
Clothes. But yeah, I think. I wasn't surprised when she didn't give Keith a rose after this date, but I was also surprised because he just seems like such a wonderful guy and they did have that initial connection.
Yeah, yeah.
I was sad for
him. Agreed.
But during this, we do have the moment with Mark where Mark has his moment where he says that he really likes Joan. He's missing Denise and he does really like Joan, but he's been looking really hard trying to see if he's doing the right thing, but he's not seeing it, which is interesting. Mm. It makes sense too when you haven't had a one-on-one date.
Sure.
He's kind of been wandering around. He's like, I'm having the best time of my life with these men, but like me being here for Joan, there's just something that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
And then he encounters this hummingbird and we hear that they used to have a hummingbird feeder and Denise would hold her hand out and the hummingbirds would come and eat out of her hand. I'm like, I've never seen
that
such
is
a thing.
Crazy. Hummingbirds are like notoriously like skittish and scared.
They never. And you know what? It makes full sense. Kelsey is magic. And Mark is magical. Like, Denise had to be just the most magical, lovely. That family, their energy is just.
It's such a calm, angelic energy.
Yes. But this to picture his wife holding out her hand and hummingbirds eating out of her hand. Pascal's like, I've never seen such a thing.
Yeah, sweet.
But he said when he was walking outside, he was tripping out and then a hummingbird came right up and he had to like catch his breath. Yeah. And another thing I love about him is that he connects with signs.
I keep bringing this kind of stuff up about like guys in their
60s. Yeah.
You know, because I just have references to like my dad or like his people he knows.
Yeah, and other people that we've worked with.
We
grew up around a lot of adults being from the church environment we were. There was always kind of older people around all the time. And
men in their 60s, connected with their emotions and then their spiritual side and signs by hummingbirds. Like my dad would be like, I mean, I love my dad, but it's like my dad would be like, yeah, it's just a hummingbird. I don't know what he means to say. What does that have to do with anything? Like, but the fact that he's like taking this as a sign, he's like very much in tune, which I thought was really beautiful.
He even said later, he was like, I'm manifesting about
it. Yeah, he's like making life magical.
Mark is full of surprises.
He's full of surprises.
We've talked about it before. He's goofy deep down. He's goofy. He seems to be spiritual. He connects with his emotions.
He's very connected.
He's like, he is not what I thought he was going to be in the best way.
Exactly.
Truly.
Exactly. I love his energy.
And I love that they had a conversation about signs, because I was thinking about, like, you know, so many people have those signs from their loved ones. I was thinking about, remember how after my Nana passed away, I don't think we ever shared this with the family, but me, you, and Ember, I'm not going to get emotional here. Me, you, and Ember stayed in her home for a few months during the summer after she passed away, because I really missed her and I wanted to be close to her. Mm-hmm. And her home was just her aura and we wanted to be in her space. And it was such a gift. It was like a good farewell. And remember the one day, like right when we got there, and I walked out into her garden and that massive butterfly landed on me.
Yeah.
I never had that happen in my life. No. Like I was just standing there talking to Ember and we were like playing around, and all of a sudden this butterfly that was, I'm not joking,
huge. It was like
the size of like both of my hands combined. And I have some big mitts. Okay. I have massive hands. The butterfly that big, so colorful. I've never seen one, just literally landed on my shoulder. And I was like, oh, and then it crawled its way down to my hand and it just hung out on me for like, I'm not exaggerating, maybe 20 minutes, to the point where I was like, is this butterfly okay?
Yeah, right, right.
Like, is it passing? And then after 20 minutes, I tried to kind of, you know, shake the butterfly off because I was like, are you okay? And then he just floated away.
Yeah, that was it.
It was like, that was Nana.
But I like the beauty of that. It's like, you could either take that as just like, oh, whoa, this like butterfly. Or you could kind of look at it like maybe there's something more going on. And I think that's a choice.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that he's making that choice to not just play off things, but to invest in the concept that like it might be something, I think it makes for a more like in-tuned individual, and it kind of makes, especially at his age and the way that, you know, his generation is, it's like generally not like that. So I thought it was really cool.
And I completely agree. And also, you know, he had said, he's like, this has now opened up a light for me. Mm. Like, I feel so good. And I truly believe we have then this devastating moment because this happens and he's crying and he's opening up. And then he ends up getting sent home after he's like, Denise, let me know this was the right thing. Mm-hmm. But to me, how I took this is it was like he had what he says are the best moments of his life with these men. He's in community with men who see him, feel him, a man who's like, you're my very best friend, all these new relationships. And he's now opened up to the opportunity for love. And I think he's going to be the next Golden Bachelor. Yeah. And I think it was like Denise being like, you're in the right space, because he couldn't be the next Golden Bachelor if he wouldn't be here.
Mm.
You know, and maybe that's going to take a little bit of heartbreak with Joan, but I think he's exactly where he needs to be.
Exactly.
It's like mom coming in being like, honey, your daughter had to go on the show and she found like the love of her life and you needed to be here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like one door closes, the next opens. I think him being the next bachelor would find someone amazing.
I think so.
You know what I mean? 100%.
And he also, sorry, GGT, but he seems like he is ready, that he'd be an unbelievable partner. Yeah. And
doesn't seem like the guy you're gonna have some drama after the season with. You know what I mean?
I think what you see is what you get with Mark.
Big time.
If anything, what you see is what you get, and then you get more in a better way.
Like, yeah, because he even admitted to being a slow burn. He's like, I'm not the guy that kind of just like pops right out and is just like ready to go. It's like, take some time to open him up. So beautiful, beautiful man.
I love Mark. Okay. Let's take another quick pause before we talk about this group date. So family, listen, fall seems to finally be here. Oh, I love it so much. And I'm taking advantage of that coziness. Like, for example, watching this most recent Golden episode in bed. Okay. I have been watching my shows in bed. I have been reading in bed. I have been working in bed because, well, I've built the coziest bed imaginable with Bowl and Branch bedding made with the finest 100% organic cotton. God, Bowl and Branch is is so amazing. Don't even get me started on Boll & Branch's best-selling signature sheets. They are so incredibly comfortable. They feel absolutely buttery, breathable, and somehow they get softer with every single wash.
Yeah, I have to tell you all, I can be a bedding snob a little bit, a sheet snob. And the moment I felt Boll & Branch's signature sheets and their bedding, I was hooked. They're incredible. I love them. They're so comfortable. I love how incredibly breathable they are. You can easily add Boll & Branch's bed, blankets, duvets, and quilts without making your bed feel heavy or hot too.
And oh, I have added it all, baby. I have made our bed divine because of Boll & Branch's bedding. And it doesn't just feel divine, it looks divine. Our bed looks like something out of some like luxury magazine now, and I'm very obsessed. And again, I'm consistently blown away with how Boll & Branch's sheets get softer after every single wash. I have genuinely been sleeping better since we started using Boll & Branch's bedding. I'm simply in love. Best of all, Boll & Branch gives you a 30-night worry-free guarantee with free shipping and returns on all U.S. orders of $100 or more. But you're going to love them. You're going to love your sleep on them. Start getting your best night's sleep this fall with Boll & Branch. For a limited time, get 20% off plus free shipping on your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com/momdad. That's Boll & Branch, B-O-L-L-A-N-D, branch.com/momdad for 20% off and free shipping. Exclusions apply. See site for details. bollandbranch.com/momdad. Okay, so the group date, they are going bowling. I love how the men, it's the Goldens who figure out from the date card, it said, love has no time to spare or something like that. And immediately all of them go, it's bowling.
Yeah,
Versus all the regular guys, if it would have been just the Bachelorette, there's no way they would have figured out that it was a bowling date.
They're like, what?
No way. All the guys were like, we know puns.
Yeah,
we're
we
dads.
Know puns. It's an older it's, sport. It's, got it.
It's
Let's
a,
do
it's
it.
A bowling date. But when they show up, you know, dying over the fact that Pascal is like, you know, obviously not thrilled with the shirt and the shoes that he has to wear, but he's going to make it work.
Yes.
He says that this is not a game in Europe, but I'm not scared to go with the flow. He's like, right. I haven't really played this, but I do like that about Pascal. He's like, I don't care if I look like a fool.
Right.
I'm going to just have fun. I'm going to have a good time.
Yes.
We see him actually do pretty well. And then I swear to God, he disappears.
Yeah. He was drinking in the corner at the bar at the bowling alley.
He goes to the bowling alley bar.
Champagne, by the way, at the bowling alley.
Yeah, champagne or like a nice martini. Yes. And they're like, we don't have champagne.
Like, we have beer.
We have simply, and it's, we just have Bud Light and Budweiser.
Yeah.
So your choice.
So he went to the store and got champagne for himself.
He sent one of the assistants, producers to go.
He's like, there for a good time.
Like,
he's literally
Dom.
Yeah, he's there for a good time. He's like, whether me and Joan work out, whatever, but like, I'm just hanging out, having a good time.
And by the way, we see in a preview for the upcoming episode while they meet the family, we see one of the kids say something like, my dad's not going to marry you.
Yeah, like, yeah, he's not going to choose you or something.
And by the way, has to be Pascal's kid.
Oh, yeah.
There's no way that child is not Pascal's kid.
My
being
dad.
Like, by the way, my dad's not going to marry.
My dad is the opposite of a guy that's going to marry someone, just so you know.
So you guys can like have fun
like,
together.
I know you're thinking this is a
but
thing.
Like,
but
my dad's not going to marry you.
Met my dad? He whisks off to foreign countries with women every other week. What are you talking about? What is this?
It's not going to, like, maybe like,
like
you
he's
guys
cosplaying
like,
as like a marriage guy.
Maybe you guys can have like a situationship.
Yeah.
Like, he's not going to marry you.
My dad does?
Maybe a vacation with him here or there, but marriage.
Yeah.
So there's no way that that's not his kiddo. But the men are saying there's competition in the air. And this is where we see Chalk, who I said from the get, I'm like, he gives me competition energy. And I was right. Yeah. And not in a negative way. Mm-hmm. This man wants to be with Joan. And you know, we celebrate when someone's like, hey, I'm going to use the time because the lead also wants me to use my time. And there's a difference between someone who always is pulling the lead and taking their time, and then the lead trying to spend time with others.
Yes.
Versus, so Chalk gets all cozy up against Joan and is all snuggly and is asking her like, which side of the bed, baby girl, and all these things. Joan, she's not moving.
No.
And in fact, Joan had numerous times where it was her turn to go up and bowl. she'd bolt and she'd get right back into the crook of his arm. She'd snuggle right back up. She wasn't talking to the other guys. And she'd go straight in after she'd bowled into a big hug with Chalk and then get right back in cozy.
And I gotta say,
she wants to stay there.
Yeah. And I gotta say, I think she likes the, what do you call it? Like,
Pursuit.
Of her?
Yeah.
I think she appreciates him taking control of the situation, going after her. I think that it's kind of funny. I feel like we're seeing between him and Guy, the two guys that, like, they're older now and more mature. And so they're not going to get into, like, maybe later they will, but they're going to be like the more respectful versions of. But if we saw these guys in their mid 20s on the actual show, it would be a mixture of Chalk's taking too much time and Guy's complaining to all the guys going like, this is bullshit. This guy's da, 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 da. And then like he, and then Chalk might be the villain in the 25-year-old version. Cause he's like, taking her. But I thought he was kind of had swagger. Like he was going up to her saying, can I just steal you away now forever? What side of the bed? So he's throwing a little horny vibe at her. Yeah. Kind of what side of the bed, you know? So he's doing a good job of getting in there and then making it a moment. Because even Guy like tried to like copy him.
So awkward.
And then he was just kind of sitting there. And he's like, yeah, bowling's kind of fun, huh? Like, he did a pretty good job there. Like he didn't have the Chalk energy in and kind of make it
Chalk
fun.
Chalk goes in and Chalk's like, I don't care about bowling. Yes. I'm going to use this opportunity to talk to you about us.
And he even said in the interview, he's like, I love everyone, but I'm not here for them, which is very classic bachelor 25-year-old guy doing it.
Yeah, but he's doing it in a mature, like, I actually want to be with this woman.
It's very good. It's like we're reaching a time where playing it cool's over.
Yeah.
You got to set the precedent. Yeah. I like you a lot. I want to do this.
I want to be with you. Yeah. But like I said, it was very clear to me because Guy's over here going, you know, Chalk is on her team.
Right.
And, you know, it's not fair. He's staying there.
Yes.
And he's not rotating her with everybody because they're on each other's team already and they're going to spend time together. It's like, listen.
Yes.
She, at least gave off to me, she didn't want to leave. She kept coming back to Chalk. Exactly. She was nice and cozy in his cuddles.
I think she feels taken care of by him.
And she did not. She would bowl and then she did not wander around. Mm-mm. It wasn't like she would bowl and then she'd go to another guy and then Chalk kept following her. Chalk sat in that seat and she kept coming right back to Chalk.
Which makes me also think about how I've noticed she doesn't feel any sort of like participation guilt.
No.
Like she's not going out of her way to make sure the guys are okay in that way. She's going, come to me.
You can come to me. Yeah.
Like even on the date with Mark, when they're awkwardly sitting there, she's not going, so anyway,
she just
what's your favorite
color?
She just sits there and just kind of goes, is he going to take control of the situation or not? And that's what she's kind of doing. She's like, I'll sit right here and whoever comes to me, comes to me. Because if you noticed, it was a guy that came right to his. It wasn't like she came over and was on the other couch mixing it up. She's not doing the cocktail hour thing. Mm-mm. She's going, if you want me, come get me.
Yep.
Which I like.
So do I.
Because it kind of sets the precedent of like, who's here for me? Who's here for a good time?
Yeah, I'm not going to sit here. This isn't my job.
Exactly.
I'm the lead. You guys can come to me. I don't have to sit here and like, you know, bounce back and forth and feel guilt about anything. But she was enjoying her time with Chalk. But that's when, you know, the guys, they sit together and Guy's just like, oh, and Jonathan and Guy and Pascal are like, did you see Chalk the entire time?
Yeah.
He's and Pascal's like, he was glued to her.
Yeah.
He's like, he couldn't get enough of her.
Chalk doesn't care. I mean, Pascal doesn't care. He's just kind of like, he's a good like team guy in that way. He always kind of goes, yeah.
No, but I feel like Pascal's more like, did you see how he was glued to her? How embarrassing. Yeah. He's like, it's so desperate. Because
he even said later, he didn't say more guys need more time. He goes, she's going to make the choice.
Yeah, he goes,
I've never had an issue.
Yeah, he's like, she's going to make the choice. Cool. And guess who ended up getting the first rose? Pascal.
Like Chalk, when he talks to his kids about getting the girl, he goes, listen, you got to go rat at him. You got to show him how much you care. You got to be, a strong man. And then Pascal's the guy that talks to his kids and goes, no. Here's what you do. you make one compliment and then you back off and then you pull and you hang in the corner and you act like you don't even care. Yeah, like he's teaching game.
He's like, enjoy your spice of life. Yeah. Go in the corner, order a nice red, and just observe the crowd.
And she'll say to herself, "Wait, where did he go? Why doesn't he want me?" And then you'll be in her head the rest of the night. Like he's literally the way that
Pascal said he was glued to her. He's like he couldn't get enough. Like, it almost felt like he was like, "God, he's being desperate."
It's funny.
But something I want to note that I liked was all the guys, understandably, were like, did you see Chalk? Yeah. He's taking up all this time, blah, blah, blah. Jordan, I don't know if you noticed this, but Jordan was kind of like, oh, yeah, you brought that up. He goes, yeah, I didn't notice. And then they kept talking about it. And Jordan goes, oh, gosh, am I going to have to, like, you know, settle a beef between the two of you on the ride home? And Jordan was trying to avoid. Jordan's energy. That. Jordan's like, nope. I'm not going to sit here. I'm not going to talk bad.
I'm not going to get pissed off with you.
I'm also not going to talk bad about Chalk when he's not here. He's like, well, you know, I don't want to learn. We're going to have a conversation
guy
later.
Guy was on the edge. If someone would have jumped in, he would have gone. He would have been like, yeah, this is bullshit. But he was like, yeah, interesting.
The veneers were a shining the with veneers frustration. Were
shining.
But I liked Jordan's energy in it.
Yes.
I liked that Jordan was
He's also
like,
a play it cool guy for sure.
No, for sure.
I mean, the two guys who, like, one's dating celebs, one's like, they're both kind of like, they're the cool guys that, like, don't try too hard.
But I liked that Jordan wasn't like, you could tell he didn't want to talk badly about Chalk behind his back. He was kind of like, let's keep moving on. And even Jordan later, when they, when Joan has her date with Mark, before the date starts, Jordan's in the ITMs and he's like, hey, you know what? These two, one's, she's a widow, he's a widower.
Yes.
They have so much in common that some of us aren't going to just understand. And I think that they're just going to have a beautiful day together. And
he's a very well-balanced guy.
Love Jordan.
Not an anxious energy at
all. No, not at all. Not at all. But Joan talks with, you know, most of the guys, has like a brief conversation with everybody. But then she does have a special time with Chalk where they're playing games together. And then they are talking about not wanting to go back to an empty home, which it's like, I can't even imagine, you know, being used to someone always being there when you get home to then coming back to an empty home. And he, though, he's the guy who's outright telling her, he's like, I see us together. Our future will be beautiful. He's like painting it to her as well. He's also just like, our future will be beautiful. I see us together. This is going to happen. And he's very direct in like, this is,
I'm going to golf.
He's like, yeah, you said, he's like, I can't wait to go home and golf.
He's like, just so you know, I don't want you to be one of those wives that's telling me I can't be golfing. So what's the one
I'll
thing
be
I'm not cool with?
A lot.
So you know I golf. So like if that's a problem, that's the one thing I'm immovable about.
And just so you know, golf lasts for 12 hours around.
Just so you know, I don't speak to my children anymore because they have an issue with golf. So if golf is an issue.
This isn't a hobby that I go to the gym for an hour and a half. This is, I'm gone for 12 hours.
This is a lifestyle, just so you know.
Golf. My God. I love all like the TikToks and memes and everything.
Yeah, the guys are like,
because
golf?
Like all the wives or partners who are just like, when you have a partner that golfs, it's just like, yeah, you choose the one thing where you're like, I'm going to be gone for an entire day. It's never just
golf's
like,
awesome.
It's never just 2 hours. It's like golf is an entire day.
Golf's amazing.
But she agrees and she seems locked in with Chalk. But with that being said, you know, I'm now singled out like, oh, it's her and Chalk at the end or it's her and nobody. But she said that there's more than one person that she can see her life with and that there's more than one person she's falling in love with.
Yeah.
She hasn't said this to anybody yet, but she says there's more than one person. So I'm curious who.
Yeah.
I can't tell. Her top four, Chalk, Pascal, Guy, and Jordan. I don't know who the other one she's falling in love with is.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's Chalk is one of them, but who is the other person? I think it's Pascal. I think she's falling in love with Pascal.
I'm just going to say this now.
Okay.
This is my thought.
Okay.
I think, because she said this multiple times now, I miss being a couple.
Yeah.
I miss being a couple. I miss having the day to day. I miss being, me and all my friends go to dinner. They all go home to their significant others. I go home alone. She said this 6 times during this episode, I think. And then she said something very specific to Mark. She said, he goes, what's your 5-year plan? He goes, oh, in 5 years, I'm hoping to find my person. I'm like, you're on the show.
You said that?
Yes. She's like, in 5 years, you know, I'm with my person. Da, da, da. Like, she's saying a lot of stuff that's not saying my person's here, more what I'm getting at is I think that she is much more interested in the concept of having a partner and being and not being alone anymore.
Yeah.
Than she is in anyone actually on the show.
Even Chalk?
I don't think anyone on the show is like her right now, at least her go-to. I think Chalk's the most.
Yeah.
I think she likes Chalk. I think they like she likes the fact that Chalk is pursuing her like crazy.
Yeah.
But I'm not seeing anyone on the show be like her man. That she's found.
Interesting.
Now, it could be just her, that she's hard to read that way, that she's not someone that kind of gives it all, so you can't see it as well. So maybe there's an issue there. But again, she's talking a lot about, I'm sick of being alone. I'm sick of not having my person.
Yeah.
And I miss being in a couple. She says that a lot. So I'm feeling like there's this...
maybe a push because you don't want to be alone.
Yeah, but it's like kind of how people get maybe a little more like, I'm willing to just kind of link up with someone I feel good about, but not like...
I'm swept off
I'm
my
trying
feet.
To find another John.
Mm.
It seems like almost she's transitioning maybe. I'm making huge jumps here, but like maybe she's transitioning from like, I'm not going to look for another John again. I'm just looking for someone I can do life with.
Mm. Yeah.
It's kind of what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that for sure.
It's my thought.
Well, next we have Mark's one-on-one date. But before that, let's take one last quick pause. Family. Listen, I love you all, so I'm going to ask you a question. I love you all, so I'm going to ask you a question here. Are you interested in having hair that grows faster, stronger, and longer, having visibly thicker volume, experiencing noticeably less shedding, thicker lashes and brows? Well, all of this is possible with Nutrafol. It is true. I've had friends and family raving about Nutrafol and all of their results for years, but I had to try it for myself. And it's been about a year now since I started using Nutrafol, and I am thrilled with my results. Fam, I just celebrated my birthday the other day, and to my birthday, I wore a high pony. A high pony that was full and sleek. I cannot remember the last time that my hair was long enough, full enough, or healthy enough for a high pony. I was very excited about it.
I loved it.
So thank you so much, Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand, trusted by over 1 million people. See thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding in just 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol.
Yes, Nutrafol is physician formulated with 100% drug-free ingredients, and it supports healthy hair growth from within by targeting key root causes of thinning like stress, hormones, aging, nutrition, and lifestyle, and metabolism through whole body health. And listen, thinning hair is different for everyone, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas for men and women that are tailored to different life stages and lifestyle factors, so you can get just what you need.
I just love how personal Nutrafol is. Purchase online, no prescription required, automated deliveries and free shipping keep you on track. Plus, you can save up to 20%. You'll have access to free naturopathic doctor consults, and a Headspace membership is included. How cool is that? So get results you can run your fingers through. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code MOMDAD. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and stylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code MOMDAD. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code MOMDAD. Okay, Mark's one-on-one date. He gets the final one-on-one date before the hometown choices are made. And this is, we talked about the men beforehand, but like they were just so sweet, like so supportive. You can tell that the men adore Mark. That man is adored by every person in that house.
Big time.
He walked in and they're like, it's the salt of the earth. Yeah, it's Mark. It's him. Mark. He's like, he's our God. And then even when Joan comes in, they're all like, look at this beautiful couple. They're so cute together. Da, 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 da.
Yes.
Like, he is very celebrated in that house, which says a lot because a lot of those guys seem like really wonderful men. So
yeah,
we love to see
it. I agree.
But they, you know, they hop in the red Porsche. They've got this super yacht. They have the full, they have pulled out all the stops. Yes. That boat is expensive.
Yes.
Okay. That is an expensive.
It's a yacht.
You're on that boat for a couple hours. That is so much money.
Oh yeah, it's a big deal.
That's a big deal. So
probably
they really...
the owner of the mansion's yacht.
Perhaps.
Package deal.
It's a package deal, but it's cash. So they burnt some cash on Mark. But she says before that Mark is super quiet, soft spoken, and they're almost formal with each other.
Yeah.
And she has to see if there's a flow. What's interesting to me is that up until this point, I've felt like when we've seen them, they've always been in the middle of really intimate, deep conversations, which is interesting to me. Because every time we see them,
when they have their little pull away moments, it's really good.
He's doing the cute like German thing with her. They're kissing. She's like, I wanted you to kiss me. And then we have seen them a few times where they're sitting together talking about their partners who have passed and getting intimate and not having surface level conversations, having deep conversations. And yes, he's very quiet, but it hasn't given me the energy of like, oh, I don't know this person. We're super formal together. Uh-huh. It's felt as a viewer relaxed enough.
Was earlier though.
Yeah.
Like those were the first like two episodes.
Yeah, but even like last week, I don't know. I feel like every time we've seen them together.
I do agree with the fact that like I was confused when she was saying that.
It threw me
off.
It
was kind of like, whoa, she's like, yeah, we're very formal. We'll kind of see how it goes. I was like,
and again,
I thought you guys kind of had a couple of really good moments.
Again, going back to with her top four, one of which of them is Guy.
Yeah.
And during her and Guy's date, you and I talked, I felt like it was very awkward conversation. I didn't feel like there was a flow. And I felt like in their conversation so far, it hasn't been like deep or super comfortable.
Yeah.
So I'm like, Mark's the one?
Maybe that's just her trying to put words on there's something missing.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm going to talk about that. But man, I was drenched in sweat. And then when they're sitting there cozied up, they've got the champagne. She's like chugging the champagne because it's like there. It is dead.
She goes, silence. And they're like awkwardly sitting there. And she goes, oh, you got champagne? He goes, yeah. One more chug. And just chugs the whole thing. Like they're both kind of awkwardly
they
sitting there.
They are so now, in dead
I will
silence.
Say, if you've ever been on a boat when it's cold.
It is very,
it is
it's
not
uncomfortable.
A let's chat vibe. You're kind of like, God
you're
damn,
shaking.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Like being on a boat when it's really cold is, I know it sounds like majorly like spoiled problems, but I will say like, a warm boat experience versus a cold boat experience, very different energy.
Yeah, but Evan, they could have gone inside and like, this is a yacht. You're talking about when you and I have been on like...
like whale watching?
Yes, where we're whale watching and there's
freezing.
Nowhere to go.
Yeah,
and
there's
is,
400
we're
people.
We're like far out and it's cold and choppy and we're like shivering and we're like bundled, even though it's still so magical.
It is awesome. But yeah, but like, okay. But I'm just saying it's not as comfortable that's saying let's chat. But I will say that's on Mark. To be like, Mark, I know you don't feel it. I know you're a slow burn, but like you got to kind of wake up and you got to go for it. You got to have some prepped questions. You got to have thought a little bit about like how to make a date magical.
Like for instance, Chalk does always come with prepped questions.
He's
he
very
always
prepped.
Sits down. And he goes, question for you.
He always comes
what's
in.
What's the ring?
Exactly,
what side of the bed? What does that mean?
Exactly.
Like he does always have questions.
He thinks where Mark kind of
you know,
like
he probably
floats.
Has a journal where he. Yeah. Mark's just kind of.
And Mark's awesome. But. If you're on a show where it's a competition, you got to get in and you got to make your mark.
You got to have...
He dropped the ball. He should have been asking questions, making funny comments. He should have gotten dug in.
And it was reminding me when they were like sitting there, and I know that you said that she wasn't filling the space because she was letting a lot of silence.
She was just
like,
letting it show.
But she was throwing out a few things like... It'd be like, wow, look at that boat.
Look at that beach, she said.
There's a beach over there. She goes, wow, I love laying on a boat. And she's filling it.
And he goes, look, there's open water.
And it was reminding me... of
how about them
it was reminding me of our daughter because family
never stops talking ever.
Listen, so there's we are a chatty household, okay? We're always talking.
We're always talking.
But Ember loves talking so much and doesn't like any moment of silence. Like she just likes to always be in conversation. So it's never because there's an awkward silence. It's because she doesn't ever want.
It's because there's actual silence.
Because there's a moment for a second
like
of like
someone's
quiet.
Breathing.
And I'm not joking. It'll be like 1 minute of no talking. We're like
max.
And by the way, Evan and I are like doing things.
Yeah.
And even in that silence, Ember's like, I love conversations so much that I have to think of something. And she has these go-to questions where she'll look at us and it's the same like four or five questions. And she goes, hey, mom, what's your name?
Yeah.
And I'm like, Ember.
You're like, Ember, I love you. No.
Like, you know, my name is Jess.
Stop. We can't do this.
And she goes,
let our minds breathe for 2 seconds.
I can't talk 24/7. She goes, either, hey, mom, what's your name? Or, hey, mom, how old's your mom? It's always, how old's your mom?
And it's like,
how old's your dad? It's always, what's your name? Or how old's your mom and dad? Or what's your favorite color?
Yeah. And it's like, we've told her this 6,000 times. It's daily.
It'll be numerous times.
So every once in a while, I literally look at her and go, no, I love you. No. Let it breathe. If we have a moment of you not talking,
every time,
we need to let
every
it
time
breathe.
You do that, she starts dying laughing because she knows what she's doing.
She knows what she's doing.
Every time she starts to ask the question, she almost starts laughing, and then, asking it. She goes, hey, mom, what's your name? With a laugh on her breath.
And if I say
no,
she'll run over to you and try it.
Yeah.
She's like, well, okay, that didn't work out. Let's try this. Or she'll try it to you and then run over to me. It's hilarious.
Like, we need 1 minute of silence in our chatty household.
Gosh.
But it was reminding me of that, some of those questions.
Yeah.
It was almost like Joan was going to be like, so what's your name? So Mark's.
Sun's out today. Oh, interesting.
What's your favorite color?
Yeah, because they literally go, look, there's a beach. It's like, you're on a boat. And then he just goes, look, there's open water.
That's how tense it is.
That's how brutal it was.
And I swear to God, they then send out like the yacht captain with a letter from Jesse Palmer.
Save them.
That's like, here's a scavenger hunt. And by the way, I bet they threw that together in 50-
Yeah, because it wasn't handwritten. If you noticed, it was typed.
It was
typed.
Oh, then maybe they didn't throw it together.
No, they had the computer in the back and they were printing it out. They're like, we gotta come up with something.
But it was like, I bet they did this in 15 minutes because they're like, this is so quiet. Like, what are we gonna do? Because that really saved the day.
Yes.
They had the scavenger hunt and they were able to like start asking each other questions and it opened them up. That's why you're right. Always have some questions. You go on a date, always have some general questions in your back pocket so that you don't
deserted island stuff. You can just kind of pull out.
Exactly.
Be like, maybe something will.
Now, I will say there was one. I have loved every single damn thing about Mark.
Yeah.
Mark is my king. He holds the earth in his hands.
Yeah.
I absolutely adore him. Loved every single thing about him. There was one moment that I didn't like, and maybe I misread it, and maybe he was saying he's done it too. And he put his finger down.
Oh, I noticed that.
But there was one moment that I didn't love, and they were playing Never Have I Ever. And, you know, she goes, well, I don't even remember what hers was. It was like
either.
Never. It was kind of a bucket listy type thing.
Yeah, whatever.
And then he says, never have I ever woken in the night to feed a baby.
So I thought about this because it hit me too.
And
I was like, that's not something you should admit.
I'm like, Mark, what?
I was like, it's like 50s dad. You know what I mean?
I know. I was like.
But now the one thing I will say is that could have come out of them talking about being a mother and raising children and breastfeeding or something. Where I was thinking there is a possibility he was saying like they were talking about something and then he or maybe they're talking about her daughter having a baby and sort of, and he goes, well, that's something I've never done because I can't. You know what I mean? Like maybe he was kind of being funny about the fact that he's not a mother and he can't whatever.
Well, maybe if he was specifically talking about breastfeeding, fine.
Well, that's what I wasn't sure. I was like, because he doesn't seem like that kind of guy
that's
that would
I'm
just
saying,
be
saying.
So
what
my
saying,
thing is like, did they Frankenbite that to kind of make it sound like he just, I've never gotten up in the middle of the night from my kids.
Or he doesn't understand the never have I ever. And he also had to put a finger down because he was like, well, I know Joan will have gotten up in the middle of the night to feed babies because we've talked about her being a mother and all this stuff. But I'm also putting a finger down. Like, I'm going to get you. Like, you have to put it down too. Like, we both have to put one down or something like that.
I don't know, but it felt
weirdly like. And I was like,
I don't know if you should admit that you got up to help your kids.
And I was
in the
also
night.
Like, why did they show that if they're trying to make it?
It's kind of a roaster. Yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of, it's funny that you thought that because that's the only thing I thought too.
That's
was
what
like,
I'm saying. I'm like, it's
one.
Been all such green flags to me this whole time. And then that came out and I was like,
wouldn't really admit that
I was like,
to
Mark,
a woman you're trying to
Well, I'm also
marry.
Just like, don't love to hear that. Like, we want to be there supporting and like being in up in the night helping with the baby.
We're going
to
let it slide. I don't know.
So I'd love to hear Mark respond to that.
Please respond, Mark.
So Mark, please respond to what exactly you meant and if we were misreading that or if.
If that's just how you roll, that's how you roll.
I'd like to know. I would like to know. But that's then when they started getting into more conversation. He talks about Denise, about the way that he put it really made my heart like ache, where he was like, we had a great life and we did as much as we could, but we ran out of time.
That was a really, I wrote that down too, is like a heart pulling way to say something.
Like our
that.
Life was amazing and then
out of time. It's like, oof, that pulled on the heartstrings big time.
Yeah. He opens up to her about the sign that he saw with the hummingbirds and, she starts crying and she says, don't worry, I'm not crying because I'm not happy. It makes me happy. And it seemed to me like it wasn't a happy cry. It seemed to me like a grief cry. And then she was trying to not make him feel
bad. She seems like a really tough person that doesn't like to kind of admit when she's
struggling.
And I felt like she felt pressure that like maybe he made her feel sad and she was trying to, no, it's fine.
But
it's
it didn't feel like a cry of like happiness. It felt like a grieving cry because then she's obviously thinking about the signs with Hawks from John.
And I think she's also thinking this date with Mark's not going very well for me. 100%. So I'm not like here sitting with a guy who's I'm going to be with. So it's not a happy cry. Like, but now I found you. It was like, this date's not going great. I miss my John. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I had written down beforehand, I was like, it seems like she's pulling away when she's thinking about John during this date as well. And, you know, but at the same time, Mark's like, this is the best day I've had here.
Yeah.
We hear Joan in ITMs or overdub say there's something missing.
Right.
And so then the next day back at the mansion, all the men are convinced that Mark is for sure going to hometowns.
Yes.
They're like, there's no way this guy isn't going to hometowns.
Yes.
You know, and she shows up and she gets Mark. And Keith said something. What did he say? He was just like, well, I think it's a good thing. I don't know why I think that, but I think that.
Yeah.
And they were just convinced. And she sits down with him and basically tells him that it was so wonderful that you talked to me about Denise and the hummingbird coming to the house and all this, but I went home last night and I felt like something was missing and it didn't feel right. She's like, you've grown so much personally here and your heart is mending. But I didn't see me in our conversation. And she says, I think that this is a little too early for you. Basically, she says she needs someone who is as far along in their journey as she is. Now, I'm not trying to be a shade monster and like call
a shade monster.
I'm not trying to be a shade monster and call out Joan because obviously I'm not there and I'm not in their conversation. Maybe every time they talk, he's talking about Denise the entire time and it seems like he's not ready, right? But from what we've seen, I don't think that he wasn't giving me, I'm way less ready than Joan is. If anything, I feel like they're on a very similar
energy. That's exactly how I felt.
Energy.
I felt like it was the exact same. Other date, she's going, I'm having a hard time during this date. All I can think about is John.
Yeah.
He's going, yeah, I've been struggling. You know, when I've been at the house, I got this kind of what I feel like is a message from Denise. And now I feel like they're identical.
Yeah. Me too.
You could argue that they're very much the same and that it almost is like because she's in that place as well, she's feeling like his struggle is too similar to hers. And so she's kind of feeling like it's reminding it of hers too much. Like it's too much heavy between the two of them. I don't know. Because Chalk's heavy too, but Chalk's a lot more like, and you're mine, I'm ready for you and let's go.
Yes.
Versus it sounds
like this is new for me. And
maybe she needs someone to kind of pull her through the next dimension.
Yeah.
And Mark and her are too much in the same dimension.
Yeah.
So she's, but it was interesting when she said that.
But I found it interesting when she said, I need someone who's where I'm at. And again, like I said, I'm not there seeing all the unedited footage.
Right.
So maybe it was very apparent that that's the case, but I felt like I was like, I don't know if that's true.
I agree. Completely agree.
And I also don't know. I don't know necessarily how I feel about somebody saying you're not ready for this yet. I'll be real with you. I didn't necessarily feel like that was maybe the right thing to say. Because grief is, like we talked about, and she talks about a ton, not linear, and people handle it in different ways.
Especially from someone who's going through the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
But I was a little bit like, I don't know if I would have said that, just because...
Was that her way of kind of letting him down easy, without just being like, sorry, we don't have connection?
Correct. I personally think...
Sorry, I don't like you very much. It's like...
I personally think that she probably found him to be physically attractive. And then the longer she spent with him, like she said, there was something missing. The chemistry wasn't there. And then she felt pressure because he's Kelsey's dad. And, you know, producers are probably pushing her and him together. The world is pushing them together because it's like, oh, the two of you. I mean, I even, you know, before the season even started, it was like, oh my God, can you imagine Mark and Joan together? Mm. And by the way, we had Mystic Michaela on months ago before the season even started. And I brought up, I said, what about Mark and Joan? And she goes, that wouldn't work. And she talked about it and she pretty much nailed the entire thing where she was like, Joan is going to be like type A, like, and whatever. And Mark is gonna be a little quiet. Like, she fully nailed the whole thing.
Interesting.
With the aura reading. But I think that she just didn't have that same spark, which you can't manufacture. That just, it is or it isn't. And I think she probably felt bad. And instead of being like having to do the rough heartbreak of being like, I know you just told me about Denise telling you that you should be here via the hummingbird, I don't want to have to look at you and say, I'm not into you.
Yeah.
I'm not attracted to you. That's too heartbreaking versus saying you're not ready.
It's like
yet.
Another version of it's me, not you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a way of just saying, hey, I don't really like you very much. And I think you're a great guy, but like, we don't have the connection. Like, let me find another way around this.
And I also felt that even harder when, you know, she leans in and she's like, I love you, Mark. And he handles it so graciously. And he told her, he's like, I know that I used to hide myself away and I can hide myself away, but I'm leaving here a better man. And she starts crying and she's like, you don't have a mean bone in your body. She's like, you're so good.
Yeah.
And that kind of hit me too, is like, all of a sudden she started crying and she's like, you don't have a mean bone. You have a mean bone. I think it was a little bit like, she's just not into him.
Agreed.
And totally agree. She feels bad. That's what I'm getting.
I completely agree.
So anyhow, I'm not trying to be shady, but I feel like the conversation could have been handled differently.
I agree.
Personally. But he goes in and he tells the guys, and they are all just so like...
They're shocked.
They're shocked. And they literally all start crying.
Yeah.
All of them. Jonathan's like bawling.
Yeah.
Okay. And Pascal's like, I'm going to miss my best friend. Yeah. Like, you know, and you're
the bond
my
is
gosh.
Deep at this point. Really deep. Yeah.
The only one who's there, but also like fewf is Chalk.
Yeah.
Chalk was like, oh,
we're
going
to miss you, but I'm actually really like, happy I'm you're so leaving. I was afraid of you. I thought you might take this thing. So
yeah, I think Chalk was nervous.
I think
Mark.
Everyone thought Mark had a real shot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I agree. Well, then they have the rose ceremony. Have to side note, Joan in that black leather dress. Yeah. My God.
Yeah. Killing it.
She walked. That strapless black of their dress and the slit was all lace. I was like, holy hotness.
Yeah. Crushing.
Holy hotness. Crushing I'm it. Like, she came out and I wrote down she wore that for Pascal.
Yes. She's like, I have a side to me you have not seen.
I think she wore it for Pascal. I think she wore it as like she gave Pascal the first rose. And it was like, hey, check out my fashion.
I got to be honest with you. This whole Pascal thing, I thought he was going to be a fun little French novelty and he was going to be gone.
Me too.
Like, I thought he was going to be a fun guy. And I just thought.
Well, I thought like, you know.
I mean, I just, you know.
Obviously handsome, charming.
Obviously.
All
but
the
I
things.
Just thought she's looking at her life going, I have a little simple life with my grandkids. This guy's a jet setting Frenchman. Love you. Yeah. Had a great time, but you're out. The fact that he's now going to hometowns is epic and hilarious.
Which
to
she
me.
Gives him the first rose.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's incredible.
And then Chalk Guy, which by the way, at one point when Guy accepted the rose, did you notice he was standing so close to her?
So close.
And he was like, with all my heart. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be mean. He's a little bit of an awkward guy.
Yeah, there's an awkward energy for there.
A little
for
bit
sure.
An awkward
there's a little
character.
Awkwardness. Of all the guys, for
after,
sure.
After their one-on-one beforehand with like Captain Kim and stuff, I was like, oh, and I'm not trying to be an asshole, but after the one-on-one, I was like, I'm surprised by this because he's a little awkward.
Yeah. And I'm shocked that like Keith and Mark are going home, but Guy's still there. It's not.
Well, not just this. So then the final rose goes to Jordan. Keith and Jonathan are going home. So she sent home Mark, Keith, and Jonathan.
I mean, the three top hitters we had in the
Jonathan. By the way, of course, Jonathan shows up to the bowling date and like bowls a perfect score and is like, yeah, you know, I grew up doing it. Yeah. Jonathan is good at everything.
Yeah,
he's good at everything. He's gorgeous.
I think he's lying
vulnerable.
About his age. He's like 42.
He's vulnerable. He showed all these photos of like him growing up. I mean, God, he would be another amazing Golden Bachelor.
Yes.
I think they're going to choose Mark, but Jonathan would be, I mean.
Yeah, I agree.
I feel like there'd be a line
you know,
out
chemistry
the door.
Is chemistry, and it's really weird. It's like, you know, with Jonathan, Keith, and Mark. I kind of like to us, we were like, these are shoo-ins.
Yeah.
But I watched her with them just kind of shut down.
Yeah.
Like even on the one-on-ones, it was just kind of like, yeah, it's great.
It can't be explained.
You know, but
it can't be explained.
But each one of them, each one of their dates, she was like thinking about John.
Yeah.
The Hawk, Keith date with the wine. You know what I mean? Like, it's something about those guys.
Yeah, Mark just, and her conversation
exactly,
about the signs.
Something about all three of those guys made her not escape the kind of thoughts.
But the grief.
Exactly. So yeah. There's something
for some
interesting
reason, Chalk.
Yeah, it's different. But he pushes through
but
it,
like
I guess.
Like you said, there is a level of like, he then is so declaratory of like how he's ready to be with her.
He's declaratory about how this brings us together and let's go.
Yeah.
Not just, isn't this sad?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Another side note, you know, Keith and Jonathan, she got rid of them. And I told you last week after the Chippendales thing, remember how I told you I didn't think that she loved that date? And then Keith was like, I want to be a Chippendales dancer. Exactly. And I said, I think he's going to go home. So Keith was the one who wanted to be a dancer. And Jonathan was the one who was like a literal pro.
Yeah.
And she sends both of them home.
She's like, I'm not looking for a Vegas dancer.
I'm just saying.
Right.
I don't know if that's connected. But... it was kind of wild because Keith comes up. She says bye to Keith. And then Jonathan comes up and she goes, can I actually walk you out? And I was like, ooh, poor Keith. That's pretty brutal.
Yeah, that was like when you go, like, he's still there. Like, do that to the last guy. Not because Keith was still there, right?
No, she said bye to Keith. But Keith's still in the driveway. They're doing ITMs.
Right.
And so he's seeing her walk Jonathan out, but
yes,
not him. It's
like,
kind of brutal. It's kind of like, oh,
but
gosh.
That might have been her being sweet about the concept of the abandonment that he had talked about and the feeling left out and stuff. So I felt like it was, if that was, it was really a beautiful way for her to kind of send it off.
No, I totally.
But it is funny in the way of just like, he's like,
no,
what?
I totally agree. And I'm glad that she did because her and Jonathan spent a lot more time together,
talking
too.
About those kind of things, you know.
They spent a lot more time together. Mm-hmm. I was just thinking about Keith and
Keith's
being
like,
oh shit.
The heck?
But of course, the way that Jonathan exits.
Yeah.
And she said that to him too, which was very sweet, where she was like, don't forget that you're seen and you're worth it, because that had been his struggle. And he has an exit speech that could be a bachelor exit speech too.
Yes.
So maybe it'll be between Jonathan and Mark.
I think Mark's got to be it though.
It's the legacy. It's the legacy.
There.
But like I mentioned, next week we've got hometowns. We have Chalk, you know, who was like, you can tell just in the hometown is like, this is so real. This is so real. But then we have the moments like someone, maybe Pascal's kid, saying, my dad's not going to pick you. He's not going to pick you. That's what it was.
That'd
not married.
Crazy.
So I'm like, he's not going to pick you.
If that's real, that's crazy.
Yeah, if that's not Franken bit and like it's
it
like,
probably
you know,
is.
She's asking.
That'd be wild if the daughter's just like, she's not
going
to pick you.
But then they flashed to Joan's face and Joan was like this.
It could be like
shocked.
It could be like Franken bit in the way that like the daughter goes, and if you aren't this, that, and the other, he won't pick you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not just like, and by the way, he's not going to pick you. It's more like, I'm sure they cut off whatever she said right before that. But
we're seeing tension in these hometown date visits. Mm-hmm. We're seeing, you know, people being like, I think he's more into you than you're into him, and her pulling away.
Yeah.
So I don't know if she'll end up with somebody or if maybe, because again, I keep going back to that clip at the very beginning of the season that we saw where Chalk looks like he was leaving potentially Fantasy Suites and she was going to his door. And part of me wonders, does she like end it?
I could totally see her.
But then I think we see her at the final.
But I could see her cutting guys early during the Fantasy Suites after a long night of talking. Because she cuts guys. I mean, like, I think she knows pretty quickly if she has chemistry or not. And it's like, imagine being stuck with somebody you don't have chemistry all night.
Yeah, no, of course. But
I think Guy goes next, obviously. And then I think, we'll see.
We'll see. But I think that there's definitely a chance that this show ends without an engagement. And even if that is the case, I am ultimately so happy for her because it does feel like, even though this has been like a really tough journey for her, she did meet a lot of really amazing guys. And if anything, this just opens up, you know, it's more experience. It opens up your heart in different ways and just kind of shows you what you're looking for. And maybe at the end of this, she's like, you know, I want to be in a couple again. But what this showed me is that I'm not ready yet.
Right.
And maybe my couple is finding myself like a best pal.
Yeah.
A best friend to hang out with and spend constant time with, but maybe I'm not ready romantically.
That's kind of what I'm feeling so far.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless Chalk, becomes the guy, I don't see with any of the guys,
yeah,
like marriage. I see her kind of like slowly hanging out, but
Well,
I feel like we're way behind.
Yeah, we shall see. I think hometowns will be pretty telling.
Yeah, big time.
But anywho, fam, we love you so much. Again, reminder, we only have one episode next week. We do not have a Love is Blind episode coming out Tuesday. We do have a Golden Bachelorette episode. Yes. The Hometowns coming out on Friday. But stay tuned for the following Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Not next Tuesday, but the following Tuesday for the gold or for the Love is Blind episode 10, 11, 12. So the finale the episodes. Okay. That's going to be our Halloween episode, excited. I guess. And a very spooky episode talking about Love is Blind.
Yes. Darkness.
But tune in.
Betrayal.
Next week for the one episode and the following week for Love is Blind and Golden Bachelorette. We love you so much.
So much.
And
we'll see you next
week. We'll see you next week.
Mwah. Bye.
Bye.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.